It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge afternoon of Scottish League action. Celtic are looking to go 6 points clear at the top against Hearts before Rangers try and respond against Kilmarnock tomorrow. A European shootout between Dundee and St Mirren. While it's all about the bottom of the table in Motherwell, Dingwall and Aberdeen, the Championship drew to a close last night with Leagues 1 and 2 to follow. Today it's getting to the serious part of the season. Three very serious men for the occasion: Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
This is World Press Freedom Day, so this press man is going to exercise his right to free speech and say that Celtic's game against Hearts this afternoon is more important than next weekend's Old Firm derby. If Brendan Rodgers' side beat Hearts, they'll go into the game against Rangers on a tsunami of self-belief. But if Hearts beat Celtic for the third time in a row, there'll be a torrent of abuse and the creation of self-doubt ahead of the big day. This is a monumental match for Celtic, and that word applies to Livy as they try to avoid the drop when they play Motherwell, and it applies to St Johnson and Ross County, who are trying to avoid the playoffs. I look at the calendar and I say to all of the teams in the Premiership, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, Hugh builds it up perfectly. What a big weekend we've got ahead. Fixtures today and tomorrow, and all eyes of course on the top of the table, Celtic v Hearts. Crucial that Celtic go 6 points clear before Rangers kick a ball tomorrow. And at the bottom, huge pressure on St Johnson and Ross County, fighting for survival. Big Saturday ahead.
Not just this weekend, but all the way to the end of the season, then the cup final. All exciting games, all important games. I'm looking forward to this weekend, Gordon. I'm looking forward to Celtic and Hearts, especially Rangers come on up tomorrow. And you look at the bottom of the league, a lot of points to be won there.
Every weekend on Clyde One Super Scoreboard is dramatic, but the season is drawing to a close. Prizes are about to be won, hearts are about to be broken, so you won't want to miss a beat. You can stay in touch all afternoon at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Of course, I will give you the nod to phone in a bit later on to react to whatever unfolds before us this afternoon. But let's get straight to it, because there are huge games, monumental games everywhere you look, and the top of the table seems the obvious place to start. Celtic against Hearts. Here's Andrew McLean.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers mentioning yesterday about wanting to put that scoreboard pressure on because they play first this weekend. A win would move them 6 points clear of Rangers, having just four games left to play after their game against Kilmarnock tomorrow. It would be a big step in the title race and would be a big help heading in to that Old Firm game next weekend. Easier said than done, though, when you look at their record against Hearts this season. Three meetings, Hearts have won the last two, including a 2-0 win here in December. The last time they won three in a row against Celtic, you need to go back to 1961. Let's take a look at the teams, and both teams for this one are unchanged. So it means James Forrest continues in that Celtic starting lineup. Callum McGregor, maybe a few questions about his fitness after coming back from injury, but he is in the starting lineup as well. So Joe Hart in goal for them today. The back four: Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales fresh off his new four-year contract, and Greg Taylor at left back. The midfield three: Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hitati, Nicholas Kuhn and James Forrest either side of Kyogo. The substitutes: Bain, Palma, Ida, Yang, Navrotsky, Iwata, Bernardo, Maida and Ralston. Hearts, as I said, unchanged as well. It means Xander Clark continues in goal ahead of Craig Gordon. It's going to be a back five. The three central defenders, Stephen Kingsley, Frankie Kent and Kai Rowles, will be Dexter Lembekisa as the right wing back, Alex Cochrane as the left wing back. The three in midfield are George Grant, Cammy Devlin and Benny Beningame. Kenny Vargas is supporting Lawrence Shankland up top. The substitutes: Gordon, Oda, Atkinson, Forrest, Mackay, Sibbick, Denholm, Fraser and Tagawa. The referee here at Celtic Park is Kevin Clancy. The VAR is Nick Walsh.
Mark Wilson, I was going to say, what jumps out from that Celtic team? It's not like there are loads of surprises or changes, but what's key today for you?
Well, just that it's the same side. Brendan Rodgers obviously thinking that that is his strongest side. I think a big talking point, who's on the bench? Maeda, back involved, where everyone thought he was going to be ruled out for the rest of the season, but he's deemed fit enough for the bench, which puts him right in the frame for the game next week. But he's got Forrest and Kuhn in the wide areas. Forrest delivered last week, Brendan Rodgers will be looking for Kuhn and the others to chip in today. So it's a pretty strong team, but they need to be better in possession and move the ball quicker than they did last week. I believe they will do that on a big pitch today at Celtic Park. And like, if Celtic lose to Hearts three times in one season, they probably deserve to lose the league. So that's how crucial today is.
We spoke about this last night, Gordon, where if you're going to make a case for anyone, it would be Hearts, because mm-hmm. as you pointed out, they've beaten Celtic home and away. You then get that, you become a, I don't know what the word is, you look at the probability of it all and think, can Hearts really beat Celtic three times in one season? They'll certainly believe that they can, but it would be quite something if they were to complete the trio this afternoon.
I think if Celtic aren't at it, they're certainly capable, because they've got good players. They've been excellent this season, got to semi-final obviously, finished third. You've got a guy that probably for me is player of the season, Shanklin. I fancy Celtic, because I've said it from the split that Celtic and Rangers won't drop points up until Celtic Park. I fancy Celtic to win it, but you're right, if they're not at it, if they're not in the front foot, if they don't defend properly, Hearts have certainly got the players to punish them.
You do get from time to time, Hugh, where the eyes are drawn to someone who's on the bench rather than in the starting 11, and it feels like Celtic fans will all be just watching Daizen Maeda. When does he start to warm up? How many minutes does he get? And does that prepare him to start against Rangers next week?
The Celtic fans want to see Daizen Maeda brought on when they are cruising and he gets game time prior to the match against Rangers. What they don't want to see is Daizen Maeda brought on in a state of panic, because Hearts are yet again in front of Celtic and the clock is ticking down. If Celtic, and I agree with Mark Wilson wholeheartedly, if Celtic lose three times to Hearts in a row, then, well, you don't deserve the league. But Shankland is hands down the most dangerous player in the country, and Celtic, they have to defend more resolutely than they did against Rangers when they lost three goals, Aberdeen in the Cup where they lost three goals, Dundee last week where they scored Dundee's goal for them, and they continue to lose the same goals but because of the same defensive mistakes. They've got to be as tight as a drum today, and surely they understand the psychological significance of going 6 points ahead of Rangers, who are playing Derek McInnes's much improved Kilmarnock tomorrow.
I find that a little bit unfair to say that. If Celtic lose to Hearts three times, they don't deserve to win the league. The campaign's over from August all the way to what, May. There's a lot of games there. You look at Rangers, for instance. Rangers could not win a game against Celtic and go and win the league. Would Rangers fan complain about that?
Looking pretty tough to do that now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just think that, look, if Celtic lose today and Rangers go and win 1-0 tomorrow, they're still in a good position. So you can still go and win the league. I know what Mark's saying, if you're Celtic, you don't want to be losing to Hearts. But Hearts are the third best team in our country. They've got probably the best goal scorer in the country just now. They've got decent players. So I'm not, listen, the boys have got their own opinion. I don't agree that if you lose three times at Hearts, you don't deserve it.
I think maybe we're splitting hairs. I think the word deserved is what's thrown the spanner
I'm not
in
believing
the works.
That
maybe
either.
You could say you can't expect to win the league if you lose to Hearts three times. Will we all agree on that? Is that fine? Can we shake hands on that and move on?
In a bad mood.
Mark, it's interesting because listening to Brendan Rodgers yesterday, I don't think he was taking anything away. I don't think he was trying to play down the previous defeats to Hearts, but it did remind you about how important it is to get just the big moments right within the games, rather than, you know, overall performance, but the big moments. You look at the game at Celtic Park, it was a terribly defended corner from Celtic and a free kick that Stephen Kingsley bangs in from miles out. So, you know, throughout the balance of the game, maybe not that much in it, but Celtic got the big moments wrong and Hearts got them right. Then go to Tynecastle. I don't think we need to go down the disciplinary road and remind everybody, but, you know, everyone's well aware. Celtic were down to 10 men for about 75 minutes and they missed a penalty.
Yeah.
So Hearts are clearly the type of opponent that if you get the big moments wrong, They'll punish you. That's not to say Celtic were outplayed in both of those games or dreadful in both those games, but you need to get those moments bang
on. Of course you do, because Hearts will punish you. Guys like Shanklin in the box, who puts away that set piece, is certainly capable of that. Set pieces, you know, and Kingsley can do that and put it in the top corner. But you need to take your chances when you get them. Now, Celtic were guilty of that at Tynecastle, and I think actually that day at Tynecastle, I thought Celtic played very well with 10 men, but defensively they were poor to give up the goals that they did. And then at Celtic Park, I thought they were a bit lacklustre in the final third when Hearts beat them, and they didn't create enough. So that's going to be different today. But they've got an informed James Forrest, so he's going to be crucial today. Coon, can you get better out of him? But I think the Celtic fans want to see a bit more from Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate. I think much better than they did last week. And Callum McGregor, who's been a stalwart in there, but no doubt about it, when he's come back from injury, he's looked a yard off the pace. So a big afternoon for him ahead of next week's game against Rangers.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers again spoke yesterday, said they've worked on him slightly differently in the last week, and he's looking a bit lighter on his feet and a bit sharper. So we will see. That's you right up to speed with the team news from Celtic Park. Celtic against Hearts, Motherwell against Livingston. We've sent a Motherwell legend in Fraser Wishart along to the game. Is this Livy's last stand, or are you about to witness the latest instalment of a miraculous comeback, Fraser?
I can just picture DL's face as you described me as a Motherwell legend. Remember that, Gordon? Motherwell legend. But you're right, could it be Livy's last stand? There's a bit to play for Motherwell as well. Still arithmetically possible they could be in the playoff place. I think it's unlikely, but an unlikely series of results might get them in that drop position, but Stuart Kettlewell will just want that to be settled today. But if they were to lose and Ross County and St Johnstone win, nerves will begin to jangle with 4 points of difference and three games to go. So Stuart Kettlewell and the fans will just want that to be settled today. But for Livy, all but relegated, but a win today along with other results going their way, then they can just keep their slim chances alive. But being an up and down season for Motherwell, they made the right decision, in my opinion, to stick by Stuart Kettlewell. He's got a decent squad to build on, but they have lost a lot of goals this season, 52 in total, 28 at home, so perhaps it's at the back he's going to look to add to his squad, because up front, Spittle and Bear have been outstanding. Spittle, of course, leaving, so he's going to have to be replaced as well, so a bit of work to be done. But to do that, I think Stuart Kettlewell, of course, wants to secure their top-flight status first, and that can be done today. For Livy, perhaps it's just about delaying the inevitable. David Martindale seems to have been talking about relegation since late 2023, but he's a number of players back from injury today and a strong looking bench. And at the very least, he'll just want to win to keep, at least put a wee bit of pressure on St Johnstone and Ross County just above them, and keep things interesting for another game or two at the bottom of the table. Hopefully an open game today, a draw's no good to Livy, and a few goals for the Firth Park fans to enjoy. Team news, two changes for Motherwell. Vale is of course suspended and Drafkowski drops to the bench, and comes Andy Halliday in the midfield and Sam Nicholson as an extra forward player. They go with a 3-4-2-1 formation. Liam Kelly in goals, Dan Casey, Paul McGinn and Shane Blaney across the back. Four midfield, Stephen O'Donnell, Lennon Miller, Andy Halliday and George Gent, with Sam Nicholson and Blair Spittle tucked behind the lone striker. Teo Bear, Ashton Oxburgh, Bevis Mugabe, Harry Payton, Davor Drafkowski, Ollie Shaw, Moses Debye, Mark Ferry, Luca Ross and Callum Butcher are the substitutes. And perhaps no surprise that Livingston, David Martindale, has not made one change to a team that beat Ross County last weekend to keep them in the hunt to stay up. So they're unchanged. 4-2-3-1 formation. Jamal George in goals, Michael Nottingham, Michael Devlin, Ayo Obalai and Sean Kelly at the back. Two in midfield, Jason Holt and Jamie Brandon, Dan Mackay, Stephen Kelly and Scott Pittman behind Bruce Anderson. Their substitutes are Kieran Wright, Christian Montano, David Carson, Stephen Bradley, Joel Nubley, Mo Sangari, Andy Shinney, Curtis Guthrie and Tete Yenge. And the referee today is David Munro, and the VAR is Ewan Anderson.
What about this for a game at Dens Park? A shootout for a European place between Dundee and St Mirren, both going for it. David Friel's watching.
Yeah, Gordon, I know all eyes on Celtic Park, but I think this could be a claim for game of the day. The race for fifth in a 12-team league, it might not normally sound that dramatic, but with that European place up for grabs, it's a massive one for both clubs. Dundee last played European football 21 years ago, when our good friend Jim Duffy was a manager. Perugia knocked him out. For St Mirren, you need to go further back than that to season 1987-88, so that tells you how big this could be. One of these clubs will be back on the European stage next season, and today could obviously go a long way to deciding who that is. St Mirren start the day in fifth, 2 points above Dundee in sixth. I think they both had pretty similar seasons. They've both won plenty of praise, played some good stuff, but I think both sets of fans now want to get the passports out for next season and get back to Europe. Dundee lost 2-1 to Celtic last weekend. They're actually four games without a win coming into this, not in great form, but there's a reason why Tony Docherty is up for the PFA Manager of the Year award tomorrow night, and he will be desperate for 3 points today. Omens are, well, Dundee beat St Mirren 4-0 here in November, but you get the feeling it will be a lot closer here today. Tony Docherty has made two changes, and Donnelly comes in for Josh Mulligan. It looks like Dundee switched to a back three, and Lyle Cameron is also back from injury to replace Malachy Boateng. So the back three, sorry, John McCracken will be in goals, back three of Antonio Portales, Aaron Donnelly and Ricky Lamy, Jordan McGee and Owen Dodgson will be the wing backs, with Mo Salah, Luke McCown and Lyle Cameron in the midfield three. Scott Tiffany will roam in behind Amadou Bakayoko. Subs for Dundee are Sharp, Astley, Main, Mulligan, Robinson, Robertson, Boateng, Mellon and Costello. As for St Mirren, Stephen Robinson take charge of his 100th game for the club today, and he's obviously going to be fired up for this one. They lost 2-1 to Rangers last weekend, a third defeat in a row. They're not in great form either, but they played pretty well and have beaten Dundee twice this season already. Robinson's made just one attacking change. Toyosi Olasanya is in for Greg Kilty, and his team looks set up to have a real go against Dundee today. St Mirren are going to be Zach Hemming in goals, back three of James Bolton, Alec Gogic and Marcus Fraser, Ryan Strain, Caelan Boyd-Munce, Mark O'Hara and Scott Tanza across the middle, with Conor McMenamin and Toyosi Olasanya in behind Mikel Mandron. Subs for St Mirren are Minsky, Taylor, Dunn, Brown, Flynn, Backus, Kilty, Jameson and Scott. The referee at the Scott Foam Stadium is Matthew McDermott, and the VAR is Alan Muir.
Looking forward to that one. Plenty at stake. David Friel has outlined it perfectly. Both going for Europe, both been missing European football for quite some time, and that is probably an understatement. So Dundee against St Mirren should be an absolute cracker. What about Ross County against Hibs? Roger Hanna's been on his travels, he's in Dingwall. Take it away, Roger.
Yeah, Gordon, and Hibs are the best of the rest, I feel like, after last week's comprehensive win over St Johnstone in Perth. And they might even have made the top six, you know, had some tough VAR calls not gone against them before the split. Mick Montgomery discussing it yesterday and saying the decisions and this week's admission by the SFA that they got it wrong felt like a punch in the face. Well, if he's to avoid another punch in the face and more pain and losing his job, then seventh place in the Premiership might be a minimum requirement for Bill Foley and this Hibernian board. If Don Cowie is to get the county job on a permanent basis, then survival will be his minimum requirement. They stuttered last week, 2-0 defeat at Livingston in their first outing since that amazing win against Rangers. So consistency a real problem for the host. They're still a point behind St Johnstone with four games to go, including a trip to Perth in the midweek before the campaign ends, and that could be decisive. We're expecting a close one here. 2-2 draws between the sides this season. Hibs edging the other game at Easter Road 2-0. It was actually here when Hibs last won in Dingwall, a 2-0 success 19 months ago. Ryan Portis scoring just days after his Scotland debut against Ukraine. I can give you the team news. Three changes for each side. County leave out Sims, Harmon and Latoury. In come Reid Brophy and Will Nightingale, starting in the middle of a three-man central defence. His first outing since he was injured in Derek Adams' last game in charge at the start of February. So it's Ross Laidlaw in goal, back three, Jack Baldwin the skipper, Will Nightingale back in the team, and Ryan Leake. Across the middle, Mishi Efeti, Connor Randall, Eli King and Josh Reid, and Jan Dander just in behind Eamon Brophy and Simon Murray. On the bench, it's Wickens, Aina and Brown, Henderson, Keller and White, Latoury, Harmon and Sims. Two enforced changes among the three for Hibs. Last week's goal scorers, Paul Hanlon and Dylan Vente, both start in place of the injured Will Fish and Adam Lafondre, who drops to the bench. And the other changes are late one in goal. David Marshall left out. We're told it's a precaution against a minor injury, but Jojo Walcott starts in goal. And there's a couple of young goalies on the bench, Murray Johnson and Freddie Owens, both there. Marshall, of course, a former teammate of Don Cowie, did three seasons together at Cardiff City, but they won't be in direct opposition today. So Hibs go with Jojo Wallacott and goal. The back four, Chris Cadden, Rocky Bashiri, Paul Hanlon and Jordan Obita. The midfield holders, Nathan Mariah Welsh and Joe Newell, and then Martin Boyle, Emiliano Marcondes and Mizian Maulida behind Dylan Venter. On the bench, Johnson, Owens and Triantis, Stevenson, Levitt and Campbell, Tavares, Mayenda and Lafondra. The referee is Don Robertson, and the VAR on a lovely day in Dingwall is John Beaton.
And last but by no means least, a big game at Pittodrie. There's been a bit of managerial drama there today as well. Dave Galloway has the details.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Gordon. The build-up to this one, of course, dominated by the news that Peter Leaven won't be in the Aberdeen dugout after having an emergency operation last night. Now, there's no updates on what the club told us a little earlier, that the op was a success and that he's expected to make a full and quick recovery. I actually spoke with Peter before yesterday's pre-match media conference briefly, and he said his hip was really sore, and he just laughed when I said, "So, you'll be a doubt for the game then." Under-18's boss, Scott Anderson, takes charge this afternoon. But having inched their way up to 8th in the Premiership, the Dons are determined to close out a highly frustrating campaign on a high, as incoming manager Jimmy Tilleen looks on. The Swede has already been involved in planning for next season. Interim Peter Leaven, the aforementioned interim Peter Leaven, he has steadied the ship. He's done a good job. Results and performances have improved. Now the Reds are setting their sights on seventh placed Hibs, in the trail currently by 4 points. St Johnstone, they're in big trouble, aren't they, as they hover just 1 point above the relegation playoff place. 4 defeats out of 5 for them. But how they'd love to dial into one of their best performances of the season. I was there on the night. Their previous visit to Pittodrie, Saints ran out deserved winners with a 2-0 victory. Looking at the teams, Aberdeen are unchanged. So it's Keller Roos in goal. A back four of Nicky Devlin, Stefan Gartenman, Angus McDonald and Jack McKenzie. The sitters, Connor Barron and Dante Polvara. Further forward, Jamie McGrath, Leighton Clarkson and Junior Hoylett, with Bojan Majovski leading the line. The subs, Duin, Shinney, Jensen, Duke, Phillips, Sockler, Duncan, Milne and Rubisic. 3 changes for the Saints today. In come Dre Wright, Benji Kimpioka and Connor Smith. Out drop Fran Franzak, Luke Robinson and Adama Sidibe. So looks like a 3-1-4-2 today for the Perth team. Dimitar Mitov in goals. Then at the back, Ryan McGowan, Liam Gordon and Andy Considine. Dan Phillips playing in front of them. Then it's Dre Wright, Matt Smith, Connor Smith and Graham Carey with a strike force today for St Johnstone. Nicky Clark and Benji Kimpioka. The subs for them this afternoon, Richards, May, McPherson, Kushriavi, Sidibe, Olufunwa, Crawford, Kelchins and Franzak. Your match referee today at Adull and Chile Pittodrie, it's Chris Graham, and in VAR duties we have Greg Aitken.
I'm sure it'll be a quiet day in the VAR front, it always is. That's you up to speed with your team news. It's a huge day in Leagues 1 and 2 as well, and we'll continue the build up next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are in the studio. The top team are around the grounds. We've already been round. We've given you the team news from Celtic, Hearts, Motherwell, Livy, Dundee, St Mirren, Ross County, Hibs and Aberdeen at St Johnstone. We will go back and focus on those games in the not too distant future. Thought it might be a nice opportunity, since we've got the main man himself in our presence. Fraser Wishart, are you ready to dish out the player of the year across the various categories tomorrow? I know you'll be crushed at Gordon Dalziel's absence, but everything else going to plan?
It's all going to plan. I don't think I've ever been asked so many times by various people, just people in the game, people in the streets, saying who's won it, who's won it. And of course we don't tell until the night, so all the 34 or 35 players that are nominated for all the players awards, including the women's game as well, and all the manager of the year awards, they'll all be there tomorrow night waiting to find out the results. So yeah, all going to plan. It was great turnout from the players in terms of voting, record turnout. We do it electronically nowadays, but still go out to the clubs and get them to fill out their forms. So always interesting to see what the players take on it is. It's always a bit different from the supporters, it's a bit different from the football writers. I think we all view things here in the media as well, up in the stands, we all view things a bit differently. So it's always interesting to see the guys who are down on that green grass, how they view things as well. So we'll find out tomorrow, we'll all enjoy it. A number of you guys are coming along as well, except for Daz, who can't make it, which is a bit sad. And he's going to take that, which is
even sadder.
When you should be, it's even sadder. I was going to say that it's a bit bizarre when he's a couple hundred yards away. But we'll enjoy the night without you, Daz.
Do you know what I was thinking though? I know he says that, but it doesn't tell anyone. But for his old pals, surely he could do the old Charles Ingram. I'll name them. You cough when I say the right name, Fraser. Can I convince you?
I have a chronic cough, so I'll cough at everyone. I if didn't you don't think mind so. That one.
Right,
so
what we could do then, right, round the house, you're not going Gordon Dale, so you're exempt.
You can, not getting a vote.
You can go last. Mark Wilson, who wins
it's
and why?
Shankland, without doubt.
Without doubt.
Not I think
even close.
Well, I think he's been the I think he has been the consistent player, and I think that's the difference. I think O'Reilly started the season well. He was a standout in the first half of the season. But I just think Shankland's been consistent all the way through. The variety of goals he's scored, how he's led the line for a team finishing third, he's done it against the big teams as well. The others have got obviously an argument, but I think he's been the outrider from the the beginning.
Hugh Keevans?
Shankland. Unopposed for me.
Unopposed? So no one's even got it close.
I think that people always accuse us in the media of going for the goal scorers, the glory hunters, but let's be honest, you know, he's been consistently outstanding and has scored terrific goals. He's in the Scotland squad. You take away Lauren Shankland's goals, Hearts would be in bother. He's that important to them. I don't know what they do in the summer, whether they take big money for him or give him big money to stay with them. But for me, it's got to be him.
Roger Hanna, David Friel, does anyone disagree? Because this is getting a bit one-way traffic-like.
I think it'll be close, Gordon. I genuinely don't. I think Matt O'Reilly's in with a major shout. I would have Shankland slightly ahead of him on my own selection. But no, I think the Fraser Wishart will keep this drama going until shortly before midnight tomorrow night. He told me earlier on, you had asked him who was player of the year. Mark had asked him who was player of the year. David asked him who was player of the year. I asked him who was player of the year. And Hugh asked him, would there be enough wine in the table?
Listen, we've all got different priorities. That's understandable. It better not be just before midnight. I was hoping to...
Yeah, exactly.
I'm working. I was hoping for an earlier shout than that. But anyway, David Friel. So the guys in here so far, Shankland by a mile. Roger, not so sure, leaning a bit more towards Matt O'Reilly. What do you think?
I am going to make a case for Matt O'Reilly as well. Gordon, I think he was by far and away the best player in the first half of the season. I agree his form did dip slightly for a while, but he was being chased by Atletico Madrid at the time. He's got 14 goals, 16 assists. I think he's been Celtic's best player in the Champions League by a country mile as well. In the last few weeks, he's come up with big goals against Rangers, Livingston, Aberdeen. I think we sometimes suffer from, you know, who's been playing well recently and not actually look at the bigger picture overall the whole season. I think Matt O'Reilly should be the player of the year.
Which means no one has thrown James Tavernier or Jack Butland in. Why?
Well, I mean, the goalkeeper, yes, he's been terrific, good enough to get Gareth Southgate to come and watch a Scottish match. But, you know, Rangers' goalkeeper is well protected and Rangers tend to dominate the games in which they play. I just think to make the goalkeeper above the guy that's got 28 goals for the season is stretching the imagination a bit. And Tavernier, yes, the numbers are fantastic for goals and assists. The question marks remain about his defensive capabilities. Again, I just think he pales into insignificance against what Shanklin's been doing.
Right, go on then. You're not going to be there. You're going to be with Gary Barlow and the boys instead.
If it's a minute if to it's 12, anything, I'll bring the three boys along.
If it's anything like last night and Ollie Murs doesn't turn up, maybe you'll be the stand-in act.
Maybe take that. And then I'll have to go and chat Fraser's door and say, can I get in?
Tail between your legs. Who's going to win?
I'm going with the boys with Shanklin. I think the David Friel makes a great case for Matt O'Reilly. I just think that people will recognise the goal scorers more. Shanklin, Scotland this year as well, well talked about. You know, even when it came to January, everybody was talking about this guy should be at Rangers or Celtic. Just shows you how well he's been doing. He's the captain of Hearts. I think he's been terrific. So I'll be tight, but I'm going for Shanklin.
I think it's his all-round game as well. Hugh's right to point at Tavernier. The numbers alone aren't enough, I don't think, to get you the player of the year. I think it's got to be a bit more in-depth than that. And I think that the players vote that way. That's the beauty about the PFAs. It's the players who vote for it. And they see, I think, Shanklin's all-round game. So, you know, his goals have been fantastic. The variety, again, like I said earlier, have been great. They've been spread across the season. But his all-round game, you know, dropping into that kind of number 10 role for Hearts as well. Captain of the side, a real leader. I think when you put all that together in the package, that's what makes him the standout in the four.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, sometimes I know you're interested in the politics of it all and your theory that there are players down the divisions and they might vote for a player in the team that they support and all that sort of stuff. You're still going down that route. It's very cynical of you. Something I'd expect from Hugh Keevans, quite frankly.
Two things, Gordon. Number one, it's not the intelligent journalists that are voting for this award, it's the players. And players don't like goalies. So it's 31 years since a goalkeeper won the award. Players don't like goalies.
They like them enough to get them in the top four.
Yeah, but you find that a lot of players down the leagues, like most of the country, they're either Celtic fans or Rangers fans. So the Rangers vote has been split between Tavernier and Butland. They can't decide who's been the better Rangers player. So when the vote's split like that, it means neither of them will come through and win the big prize. The Celtic supporting players will vote for O'Reilly. There'll be a bundle will vote for Shanklin, and that's why I can't really split O'Reilly and Shanklin for this award. I think Shanklin's probably favourite for the Football Writers Award in a couple of weeks, but tomorrow night, it would not surprise me if Matt O'Reilly won the award.
Fraser,
and he's listen,
Fraser,
wouldn't bother me, he's had a great season.
Tell him why he's got it wrong.
Can I come in and defend our members? I had one journalist actually write a piece the other day about how players don't really think about who they vote for. And I thought, alright, okay, that's a sweeping generalisation. But, Roger, the lower league players don't vote for the Premiership Player of the Year. They only vote for their Divisional Player of the Year. So if you're playing for Stenhouse Muir and you're a Rangers or a Celtic fan, you can't vote for them anyway. So,
do your research, Hannah. Call yourself a journalist.
Further down, these boys I'm watching today, Ross County and Hibs, etc.
No, it's Chinese tune now.
I think you'll find, based on last night's tiebreaker, Hugh Keevans,
yeah,
the number of Scottish players in the Premiership is only about 35%.
Correct.
So I'm finding major holes in Roger Hannah's theory here.
Even, you know, I agree,
not
and
at
I know it's a bugbear for Fraser, and annually a bugbear, because he doesn't like to think the big vote's rigged. It might be the case that Celtic players might say, not Shankland, he's not done us any favours.
Mark, you need to stick up for professional footballers everywhere here. Fraser's bound to, you used to be one. They think about it.
I think they do. I think they think of the overall package. Like I was just saying, it's not just about who you support or the numbers. I think players like to reward who has been the best, and they do think in depth about it.
Right, hold on. So when you were voting, if a Rangers player was brilliant, would you have voted for him?
Yes.
He said he voted for Stephen Davis before.
Stephen Davis,
not a chance. Southampton.
He's told us it before.
Not a chance. Show me the vote. Fraser, is that true?
Still got the records.
Dig deep, Fraser, into those records.
I'll go and blow the cobwebs off the voting forms in those days.
This is
physically write the name on it.
It's beginning to sound more like
number from Gordon DL.
Beginning to sound more like Watergate than PFA Scotland.
Yeah, I think we're getting a bit deeper than it really needs to be. Who's been the best player this season? Most of you think Shankland. A couple of shouts for Matt O'Reilly. What about the young player, Roger Hannah? Who'll take that?
It's going to be very tight. My own preference would be David Watson of Kilmarnock. I think he looks a very promising young player, and he's highlighted himself with a couple of big goals, the one at Celtic Park and an outstanding goal in that 5-2 win against St Mirren. Before I cast my own vote for the other award, I looked at Lennon Miller at Motherwell as well. I think David Watson's played almost twice as many games as Lennon Miller in the Premiership this season, and that was the sort of deciding factor for me. He's played more football. He has played at a team that's finished in the top six, will probably qualify for Europe. He's made an impact in those teams. He's scored goals. So for me, and listen, you could have gone for Lennon Miller, no problem. You could have gone for Lyle Cameron for me, no problem at all. It's impressed me any time I've seen him for Dundee. But David Watson would get my vote.
And David Friel?
Yeah, I agree. I actually feel sorry for Lennon Miller because he's hardly old enough to shave, Gordon, and I think he'll be an absolute superstar. I think he'll go to the very, very top. I just feel David Watson over the course of the season has probably played more, made more of an impact, just some big goals for Kilmarnock as well. I think he would be a worthy winner tomorrow night.
Interesting. You have to go back to Andy Robertson, 2014, the last non-Old Firm Young Player of the Year. You'd have thought that would be the category that might lend itself a bit more. Tillman, Abada, Turnbull, Kent. Tierney won it loads. Jason Denier won it in that time. The only person that can keep that run going is Ross McCausland. Mark, can you see it?
McCausland, no, I don't think so. I don't think he's done enough. Listen, it always takes something special to break into a Celtic or a Rangers side, but I don't think he's really been a standout. For me, it would be Watson. I think when you look at him overall this season, guys have made a great argument there for him, where his team's playing in the league. But some of his goals, remember that goal just at December up at Pittodrie, outstanding. I think he'd be a worthy winner.
If Lennon Miller had played a lot more games, I think he would have been a certainty, because he's the best talent in the country, young boy, no doubt about it. If I'm voting, I'm going for Lyle Cameron at Dundee.
I think if you are the best talent in the country, you should get it. And I do understand that he's played fewer games than David Watson, but my goodness, the quality in the games in which he does play, He's the best young player in the country, Lennon Miller.
Hard to argue with you, but I thought the boy at Dundee is just, every time I see him, he's getting better and better. I think he went out to Peterhead and loan, Montrose and loan, am I correct in saying that? Come back.
He's done his homework.
No, I heard somebody talking about it yesterday. And for Dundee, first season up, finished top six, I think he's been brilliant.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow. Fraser Wishart's got it all in hand. Don't worry about that. In the meantime, we've got big fish to fry this afternoon, because there are huge games up and down the country, up and down the Premiership. We're talking Europe, relegation, title race. It is all there, and we'll go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes until kickoff in the 3 o'clock games all across the place. Massive, massive fixtures this afternoon. We love this time of the season. It's easy for us because we can sit back and enjoy it. But if you're in the midst of it, I predict a tense afternoon ahead. Celtic Park certainly looks like it will be one of those. And Andrew, I know asking about the crowd can be a bit cliche, and Celtic Park tends to be quite loud anyway, but I just wonder, Brendan Rodgers spoke about it yesterday, I think that home defeat to Hearts, am I right in saying that coincided with the short time that there was no Green Brigade inside Celtic Park, just with the finishing line and touching distance, it feels like that might have a big game atmosphere about it today.
Yeah, it definitely will have a big game atmosphere, and the Green Brigade will make themselves heard for this game as well. They'll want to try and will this team over the line. We know at this stage of the season that supporters can get a bit anxious, they can get a bit tetchy if teams don't start well, but Brendan Rodgers wants this Celtic support to stick with them, even if it's, you know, not a goal in the first 10 minutes, not a goal in the first 20 minutes. He wants them to keep on believing in what they're doing, and if they can keep on doing that, he believes that the team and the fans can both help each other, and that could really help them to what would be a huge victory today. So the fans need to stay patient, they may need to stay patient, but the players need to play their part as well. They need to inspire this crowd, they need to give the crowd something to be excited about, something to get off their seats about. But you can hear already the atmosphere is building, the Celtic team making their way down the tunnel after warming up, being applauded down the tunnel at the moment, not long to go until kick-off, and it will just continue to get louder here inside Celtic Park.
Yeah, looking at Motherwell against Livingston with Fraser, you're seeing signs, Fraser, that Livingston could do this. I suppose other, you know, results can go against them, and they might run out of games and arithmetic, but could you see them winning again today? Could you see them keeping their part in this all going?
No, I don't see them winning today. I think Motherwell will get the 3 points, but that's the beauty of the split, is that Livingston know they're playing against the teams at the bottom half of the table. You know, if they were sitting with games against Hearts, Aberdeen and Celtic or something to go after this, then Hearts, Rangers, Celtic, then of course you think you've got no chance. But if they were to win today, then all of a sudden just a wee bit jittery ahead of them. So it's the time of year where we're always looking at ifs, buts and maybes for all these teams, you know, and even from Motherwell's point of view. You know, I said it's an unlikely series of results, and it really is unlikely, but while it's unlikely and not impossible, sure, Kettlewell would just want to get the points to secure that status with a few games to go, because if they did lose today, and say County and St Johnstone won, Motherwell away to County next week, so all of a sudden just gets the nerves going a wee bit. But I don't think that will happen. I think Motherwell will win, but that's why this game is very important to both of them. I do think that Livingston as a team and as a club and David Martindale have kind of accepted their fate some time ago, so they might just come here and play with a bit of freedom and go and give it a real go and try and score some goals. So hopefully an interesting 90 minutes ahead, but I do think Motherwell will win, and I think it'll be the end for Livingston after 6 years in the top flight, which to be fair to them as a club is way beyond what they should be doing given their size of the club.
No, not really. I think the message isn't going to really change. We can only affect what we can affect, and that's the Motherwell game. So it's more about what we do. I'm not really looking elsewhere. I know it relies on results elsewhere, but I'm not going to lose any focus or energy on what can happen elsewhere. I think we can only really deal with ourselves, focus on ourselves and see what it takes us.
It's a 100th game in charge of St Mirren for Stephen Robinson, David Friel. You just look at what he did at Motherwell and now what he's done at a similarly sized club. Has he just got a real knack of this type of job in this league? Does he just know what it takes? Is that about the right recruitment? What's the key to that very consistent success?
Yeah, I think it's the right recruitment, Gordon, but I also think it just keeps things simple. You know, when you listen to Stephen Robinson, listen to the players talking about working under him, there's nothing complicated about his style and what he asks of his players. He gets guys in positions that can do a job in, and I think his record over his 100 games at St Mirren has been phenomenal. I remember the day when he kind of jumped in the car. I think he arrived at St Mirren in the Morecambe Club car, and I think there was some eyebrows raised because he hadn't done, I don't think he'd pulled up any trees down there. But look, it's been an inspired appointment. He's done very, very well, and if he can win today, you've got to think that European football is pretty much secure for St Mirren. And on a milestone day for him, a landmark day for him, his 100th appearance, that would be a huge achievement for the club.
And a great achievement, though, if it goes to Tony Docherty in his first season in charge, that's for sure. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson then, ahead of that 100th game in charge of St Mirren.
First and foremost, we won't make excuses about the pitch. I don't live in the excuse mentality. It's the same for both teams. So we'll go and we'll do our very best. In terms of Tony, I think he's been fantastic. You know, he's rightly been nominated for Manager of the Year. He's had a fantastic season. His first year in management, it doesn't get any better than that. So Tony should retire now. So he's done really, really well. You know, he's somebody I have a lot of respect for. He's obviously been in the game, even though it's only his first year in management, he's been in the game a long, long time, worked under very good managers, with Durek obviously for a long, long time. So yeah, delighted for him. It just shows there's a lot of talented Scottish football managers out there and UK football managers.
Still intrigued by goings on at Easter Road, Roger Hanna. Hibs up in Dingwall today, you're going to watch them. And it keeps coming back to that statement. They did well to get the win against St Johnstone last week. They were comfortable within that, but still the statement called for an upturn in results. Otherwise it looked like Nick Montgomery's position might come into question. So what does that mean? Can we look at the remaining couple of fixtures that Hibs have?
Well, as I said at the top of the show, Gordon, they'll need to finish 7th at a minimum. They might need to win all 5 games after the split to keep Nick Montgomery in a job. That was a rather ominous statement. I think some people thought Nick Montgomery might go immediately after that statement, because it wasn't exactly a ringing endorsement of his managerial capabilities. So it'll be fascinating to see if he can stage some sort of revival. There is what I would describe as the smallest ever Hibernian support that I've seen at a game of football. They are in a little section on the far side. They haven't even been given that section behind the goals that away support traditionally get. They had a huge support at Fir Park that day. They missed out in the top 6, if you remember. And I think that's probably disillusioned quite a lot of Hibernian supporters. They didn't have nearly as many at Perth last week, and it is a very small smattering of support on the far side here today. It tells you where Hibs are, you know, at this moment in time. As for County, if they are going to stage a successful survival bid this season, they're going to have to do it here. 3 of their last 4 games are here in Dingwall. You saw what they can do here when they beat Rangers. And if they can get results against Hibs today, Motherwell next week, and Aberdeen on the final Sunday of the season, they might just get out of this.
That's one to watch with interest. Aberdeen against St Johnstone. Dave Galloway, it's like Aberdeen are trying to set a record for the most men who can take charge of the team in one season. But obviously it's a more serious matter with Peter leaving, and we wish him well. What's the feeling there? Because Roger Hanna speaks about Hibs fans almost kind of switching off and the season petering out. Is it similar at Aberdeen, or how does it differ?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from the place today, Gordon. Wide open spaces as I look round Pittodrie Stadium. Right now, I think everybody would just be glad, everybody of an Aberdeen persuasion would just be glad to see what's been such a frustrating, such an inconsistent campaign, you know, just come to an end. Incidentally, Peter Leaven, I'm told he's at home now, so all the very best to him for a swift recovery. 3 points for Aberdeen would certainly be something for him to cheer about, wouldn't it? And it would also maintain a decent run of form after dreadful performance in defeat to Dundee several weeks ago. You know, it's almost like a reset button's been pushed, and there's been an upward curve since then for the Dons. Quick look at St Johnstone, though. They just can't seem to get out of the bit. They were bottom of the Premiership when Craig Levein took over. But if they don't get a result here this afternoon, they could well find themselves in the relegation playoff place and running out of games. And in a week that saw a club takeover by US businessman Adam Webb agreed, that would be, you know, a significant setback.
The pre-match talking is pretty much done. Kickoffs are coming next, and we're going back to Celtic Park.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The scene is set across the country. Celtic Park is our focus for the next minute or so. Andrew McLean will take us up to kickoff.
Yeah, the team's just making their way out the tunnel at the moment. We're getting to that point of the season where every game is bigger than the last. The pressure is greater in each game. The consequences are greater as well. These players, as they make their way onto the pitch, they'll be well aware of that. Celtic know how big a win it'll be if they can stretch that gap on Rangers to 6 points, put on that scoreboard pressure, as Brendan Rodgers called it yesterday, and make sure they have at the very least a 3 point advantage going into next weekend's Old Firm game at Ibrox. James Forrest, one of the men out there, he's the man in form for Celtic. He'll be looking to turn it on in front of this home crowd. It's his first start at Celtic Park since the 1st of November, so he will be looking forward to getting out in front of this home crowd for as long as he can today. We're likely to see Daizen Maeda off the bench as well. His season looked over, didn't it? It was that tendon injury in his hamstring. It didn't look as if he'd play again, but you'd expect he could get some vital minutes today ahead of a big game against Rangers next weekend. But Celtic up against the Hearts team, who will coast to third place, although it's actually not mathematically secure yet, but it could well happen this weekend. I don't think they'll have a lack of motivation either. They'll be keen to get the better of Celtic for the third time this season. There was, of course, that 2-0 win here in December, followed by a 2-0 win at Tynecastle earlier on this year that had plenty of VAR drama. Celtic just breaking away into their huddle at the moment. Their starting lineup is unchanged from the win at Dens Park against Dundee. It's Joe Hart in goal for them. The back four: Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three: Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate. It's Nicholas Kuhn and James Forrest either side of Kyogo. The substitutes for them: Bain, Palma, Ida, Yang, Navrotsky, Iwata, Bernardo, Maeda and Ralston. Hart's also unchanged, so it means Xander Clark stays in goal ahead of Craig Gordon. It's Dector Limbikisa that will be the right wing back, Alex Cochrane the left wing back, Stephen Kingsley, Frankie Kent and Kai Rolls are those three central defenders in midfield. George Grant, Cammy Devlin, Benny Beningame, and it's going to be Kenny Vargas supporting Lauren Shankland up top. The substitutes: Gordon, Oda, Atkinson, Forrest, Mackay, Civic, Denham, Fraser and Tagawa. The referee for this one, Kevin Clancy. The VAR, Nick Walsh. It's Cammy Devlin that's standing over the ball at the moment, and we are just getting underway at Celtic Park.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. For men's health, get advice and private prescriptions from qualified pharmacists.
Come on then, there's only a couple of weeks left of the season. Let's see if you can get some predictions right. We've tried and tried every single week. What does the ACCA look like this afternoon, Hugh Keevans?
A nervy, tension-filled Celtic Park. 2-1 Celtic. Motherwell will beat Livingston. Dundee St Mirren a draw. Hibs will win in Dingwall. And Aberdeen will beat St Johnston at Pittodrie.
I'm going for all home wins. That's easy. Yeah.
Celtic, Motherwell, Dundee, Hibs, and I'm going for St Johnston.
Two aways for Gordon DL. We will see. Tune in with interest to all. Early big chance for Hearts. That's not what Brendan Rodgers would have wanted as a start to this game. Huge. It was Shankland's shot blocked. Then it hits the outside of the post for a corner. So Hearts starting the game quickly.
I did say nervy, tension filled. That's nervy and tension filled. Back to the old feeling for Celtic of recent times. Couldn't keep pigeons out of a loft.
Well, it didn't go in. So they've kept it.
So the pigeon just came, yeah, and then just kind of went round the loft.
Well, we don't know how that chance came about, you know.
But it was well worked into the box, yeah, down the right hand side, and then blocked for away for a corner.
So. And that's the danger that face Celtic today, because Hearts can carve you open without you really making any mistakes. They can cause you problems. So they've obviously done that, started well. Yeah, another start Brendan Rodgers envisaged.
Anyway, still goalless. Just an early sign from Hearts that they are up for this one. Some of the games probably haven't even kicked off yet by the time Lauren Shankland had that chance. There's a delayed start at David Friel's game. Dundee St Mirren is just now underway, so a couple of minutes past three. A St Mirren corner after 10 seconds. Everybody's starting quickly.
trying to make things happen. There are very few games that don't, in fact there are none that don't have anything riding on them. Really big fixtures. You sometimes feel like you don't want to be saying it for dramatic effect, but it is really true. You look at them all, they've either got relegation, Europe, or the title race at stake. So plenty to get through on today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are here until 6 o'clock. Sit back and enjoy whatever you're doing. If you find yourselves wanting involved, and I hope you do, please tweet at Clyde SSB all afternoon, and I will let you know when it's time to pick up the phones. Usually around about 5 o'clock, when the games are all said and done. Not only will we look back on today's action, we will preview tomorrow as well, because tomorrow is huge in its own right. But of course, the tone will be set depending on what happens at Celtic Park. Celtic now have a corner. They've gone up the other side. Early chance. Motherwell. Spittle played in Nicholson. His shot hit the side netting. So I like it. It's lively. We just need an early goal.
Yeah, as a Motherwell fan, you don't seriously think you're still
not a
looking
chance
over your shoulders, these.
Not a chance.
You're safe.
You just prefer it to be official. That's
not, yeah, not a chance unless Ross County and St Johnstone won today and Motherwell lost. Not a chance.
And we've got a goal at Celtic Park, but which way has it gone? Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's gone to the hosts. It's Kyogo with a header. Hatate's looped ball back into the box. The initial corner cleared. Hatate back in. And there is that man, Kyogo. Criticism that he's not scored as many as he has in previous seasons, but there are a fair few big goals in there, and this could be one of them, Hugh Evans.
In the Glasgow vernacular, you should get the jail if you don't go on and win that match now. The 60,000 there to see Celtic get themselves a boost before the Rangers game, and Kyogo. That's back to the days when you could rely on Kyogo. This season, the Celtic fans have been upset because they can't rely on Kyogo, but he has come alive there. And that's, you know, Brendan Rodgers has tried soundbite stimulation. He's spoken about the scoreboard pressure. He's spoken about this being the time
VAR
of the year.
VAR check for a possible offside.
Keep talking to you. Yeah.
It's almost like
keep
when,
it going.
You know, everyone talks about the downside of VAR and the fans. Does no one think about us in here in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio? I have tongue in cheek, because I appreciate it's much more important
well,
for fans.
Ironically, Brendan Rodgers on the back pages of the newspapers this morning praising the decision to have VAR make public their mistakes. Very appreciative of VAR, and now he's going to have to refresh his opinion.
Long wait, boos from the Celtic fans as the wait goes on, and the goal is given. Celtic lead Hearts by 1-0.
What Kyogo. A start. What a start. And yeah, you're right, Gordon. Kyogo, this is the time of the season that the Celtic fans and manager really need him. And to be fair to the lad, he produces season in, season out. He's been terrific for Celtic. He's a real threat. It was important that Celtic got the first goal today, just to settle the nerves a little bit. Look, it's not done and dusted, because Hearts have shown that they've got a threat, especially with Shanklin. But that's a terrific start from Celtic.
I don't think there's any doubt that Kyogo hasn't been the same player as he has been in previous seasons. But you've got to say, in the big games, yeah, where you really need him, he stands up. And today is a big afternoon, and he's got them off to a great start. Something to build on for Celtic. I think they needed that today, you know, because it is a nervy occasion, no doubt about it. And it just settles everybody about the stadium.
You hear people on this phone and Celtic fans coming on during the week, Mark, and talking about, you know, I played up front before Kyogo. But I think you make a great point there. Seeing it's the big games, seeing when you need him, he seems to deliver.
Well, it's a 12th league goal of the season. He's obviously got some in the Champions League and so on, but a 12th league goal of the season for Kyogo. And it does have Celtic one up already. And is that just the start, Mark Wilson, that you need just to settle the nerves? Because it's inevitable it's going to be nervous at this time of the season.
No, look, Celtic Park is a difficult
corner now. End-to-end stuff. Liam Scales has put one out for a corner.
Well, it's a difficult place to play. Everybody thinks it's easy, but when you go past that 10, 15, 20 minute mark and you've now scored, and there's the murmurings around the stadium, of course nerves build. But that just gets heightened at this point of the season when you've got Hearts coming. So settles everybody. Good game.
Not just the top flight today, remember, big games everywhere. Stirling Albion 0, Annan 1. Both of them, it's a straight shootout to avoid the relegation playoff spots. So Annan with the advantage there. Cove 0, Edinburgh City 1. Let's do this, Hugh, before we get any further.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Can you tell me the last seven Hearts players to score against Celtic who had played for an Old Firm side in their career? The last seven Hearts players to score against Celtic who have played for an Old Firm team in their career.
Good one. At Clyde SSB. At Clyde SSB, get all your guesses in on one tweet. Write them all down. It's a race, remember, so try and get them in as fast as you can and see what you can come up with. Bruce Anderson's leaving Livy at the end of the season. Scored last weekend. He's had a great chance at Fir Park. Clean through, actually. But then a great challenge by Dan Casey just as he was about to pull the trigger. And Motherwell defend it well on this occasion. Still goalless there. Goalless everywhere in the top flight, with the notable exception of Celtic Park, where Kyogo has Hearts one up. Celtic one up, I should say.
But it does sound the proverbial end-to-end game. So I think we're in for a day of high drama at Celtic Park.
Stephen Kelly's now inches wide with the shots after coming breaking forward from inside his own half. Good tempo to that one. Livy looked bang up for it. I think Stephen Kelly's another one that's out of contract, is he? I'd have to double check. So I'm always interested in which players leave their club but stay in our division, if that makes sense. I'd imagine there'd be a few.
Like Spittle, you mean?
Yeah, but like Bruce Anderson as an example. Surely he'll have some offers from our Premiership, no?
Well, it's usually the teams coming up sometimes have a look at the ones that are passing them the way down. But I don't know if Dundee United
could aim a bit higher.
You think so?
Than Dundee United?
Well, they're a bit of an outlier because they're such a big club. But generally, I think there are a couple of top six teams would take a wee look, no?
You're looking to Mirren Kilmarnock, that sort of a... That's a good shout, Gordon. I don't really know. I can't answer that. I've not seen enough of Bruce to make that comment. But... He's certainly a decent player if you take him off the penalty kicks.
It's corner after corner for St Mirren, shooting down the hill, of course. So they've got that advantage. Stoppage at Celtic Park, though. Kyogo's taken a knock in the face from Frankie Kent during a challenge. Brendan Rodgers will obviously be hopeful he's okay. He's off getting treatment. He's the man that's made the difference in this fixture so far today. It's his header. And it's an interesting offside VAR, because initially I think people were maybe wondering why, but I think the debate is, was Kyogo beyond Xander Clark? There was a Hearts player back on the line, but as we all know, you know, once the goalie comes beyond that. So I think that was the question mark, and maybe that's why it was a bit more of a delicate one. So when the ball, Xander Clark punches the initial corner, so he's out his goal, and when the ball comes back in, was Kyogo beyond Xander Clark? I think that's what the debate was. What a save from Joe Hart. Hearts are not out of this by any means. They're giving this a real good go. Cammy Devlin doesn't score too many, but he's obviously got the feeling for it in recent weeks. It sat up nicely for him in the box, and high to his left went Joe Hart to deny him. Good game.
Yeah, well, you know, Hearts have been playing consistently well, unless they're playing Rangers, and they have Celtic's measure, because the results so far show you they have Celtic's measure. So, and Shankland has yet to score, which he, I would think, will do
this afternoon.
Yeah.
You think Shankland will score?
Yeah.
Hugh said 2-1 to Celtic. He's now going further. He's predicting the individual goal scorers.
So. I'll tell you what, I'll take a bow at you if you get that right. There you go.
You don't think Shankland will score?
I don't think Hearts will score.
Ooh.
There you go. Well, how come Ashley's okay to you and you went, oh. Well, because of the two chances.
Peter well, Head won Dumbarton nil.
It's very early to go on Hearts won't score.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. You're a master of going early. You usually go at 5-3.
Well, I'd
it's not happening in the tunnel here. No,
I'd have coon off now. And
anyway, Celtic do lead. Hearts have had their chances. It's that's the way we like the games to start, nice and open and lots going on. So counter-attack from Celtic, O'Reilly, Forrest involved, Forrest across the box, but just ahead of Kyogo.
Sounds a great game. Yeah, I think that's what we expected. When you've got the third place team come to Celtic Park, who've already won there, I think the Celtic fans going along today would expect a tough opening to this game. The goal settles things down from a Celtic point of view, but Hearts have got good players at the top end of the pitch.
Do you think they come with a different mindset, Mark? Because they're going to finish third in the league, right? They've already beaten Celtic, as we touched on. But usually when you go there, say for instance they were playing for second place, would they have sat in on the counter-attack? Whereas they're probably a bit freer going open, getting players and obviously causing some problems so far.
Yeah, well, a couple of good chances in the opening 10 minutes tells you that they're a bit open and enjoying their afternoon.
It's been a while, is it? The Hearts got a bit about them. They've been at Celtic Park earlier in the season and won, so it's not all dictated to by the freedom of third place, is it?
No, but I'm just wondering what sort of tactics they set out when they went there and won. You can sit nice and tight and compact, and you've got the players to go and hit the counter and still win the game. By the sounds of it this afternoon, they're sort of maybe early on committing more players forward than they normally would do.
It's a good game, that's for sure. Now Cameron Carter-Vickers has headed over from Matt O'Reilly's corner. So it really is all happening at Celtic Park. Celtic do have that crucial lead as it stands. It's maybe a bit early to be saying that, but we'll go for it anyway. Quarter past three on a Saturday afternoon, Celtic would be 6 points ahead and Rangers would have to respond tomorrow. But Hearts are very, very much in this game. And let's be honest, if it wasn't for a brilliant save from Joe Hart, Hearts might be level.
Joe Hart's been excellent. Took criticism early on in the season. There was a lot of talk around replacing the goalkeeper. And since his announcement that he was retiring, he has been outstanding. I feel it's still a bit iffy at cross balls, and that's a big part of a goalkeeper's game. But some big saves in the big games. Another one early on in this game. Terrific. Yeah, he's going to be a big player from now to the end of the season.
He's looking for the retirement to be sprinkled with stardust, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's looking to have a league title, possibly a Scottish Cup. You know, an illustrious career, Joe Hart. But he has made a sensational save to keep Celtic in it.
They had an evening with Joe Hart. Did you see that a couple of weeks ago?
No,
evening at Celtic Park, and all the players were down there in the front row, and he was up on stage, and it was sounded a bit like "This Is Your Life." You remember? Yeah. Actually, he didn't get presented with a big red book, but he must have a few tales to tell.
Oh,
goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Ross County 0, Hibs 1. And although Hibs have had their issues this season, some really eye-catching performances. Maizian Maiolida again, his goal-scoring record since he came, I think that is his 9th since he joined Hibs in January. Didn't play his first game until the 24th of January, and he scored 9 since then. He's been a real threat. It was the ball off the post, he put the rebound in, and Another small sigh of relief for Nick Montgomery. He's not out the woods by any means, and it's going to go to VAR because Ross County are claiming for a handball in the box before the goal. But nevertheless, it looks like Hibs have taken the lead.
Huge goal for Clyde as well, 1-0 against Elgin City on a day when they can secure their place in the SPFL and not have to worry about having a playoff to determine whether they're still an SPFL club or not. So Liam Scullion, 1-0.
You're loving that today, Hugh. Clyde.
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
You've said to Corley, look, I'll give you a shout out, I'll give you a lot of confidence if I don't need to buy you a wedding present. And it's certainly working.
That's a foul calumny.
I wondered why he'd been mentioning exactly. It so often in the last
100%.
Few weeks. So when did he become so interested in the bottom of League Two?
Yeah, oh, I love the Clyde. I love the bully.
See, I'm old enough to remember when Clyde won trophies. I was alive when they won the Scottish Cup. So
I'm old enough to have played at Shawfield.
Goal given, Hibs do lead by a goal to nil.
The dog track.
Dog track, yeah. I'll tell you what, terrible, I remember the Greyhound, 5 yards I gave it, boom. Like Alan Wells, round that bend.
I actually think late on in this, we're obviously really into the seriousness of the games today, because 17 minutes past 3 is actually a record for this season.
for that's a lie.
That's the longest it's taken you to lie. Talk about yourself and lie.
Oh no, I've been talking to Mark while you've been chatting away.
Yeah, but on air, I mean.
Oh, on
I'm
air.
I'm not really interested in what you say privately.
To be fair, probably in a long while, that's my first lie. I didn't. It was the hair I beat.
Speaking about the hair, what about this guy? How white this guy's hair is looking now?
But listen,
I'm getting a lot of good feedback, boys.
That's what two sunbeds in 3 days will do to you.
He's
looking fairly bronzed.
You are radioactive.
Not at all. Not at all.
You were in here on Thursday.
It's a wee bit of cream.
You admitted you had popped into your local Tan Canaria on your way to the show, and I can guarantee I would put my mortgage on you've been back.
No, I've not.
That is not Thursday's colour.
No, I'm just feeling.
How many
minutes
was it?
I'm feeling a bit flushed. You know what they say, if you can't tone your body, tan it. That's what they say.
Who said that?
I've just said that.
He said a few good sayings this week.
I can
like she's winning Thursday.
He's been back. Look at that face.
Yeah, oh, without doubt.
I've sort of a heavy joint. It's warm in here. I've got to say,
it's your hands. Look how brown the hands are.
So hold on a minute.
Is it after sun in here?
When it's warm inside, does your hair go whiter? Because that doesn't really explain.
Do you honestly think a sunbed's going to whiten my hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't be so
silly. Certainly has.
I was standing at the front door when he came out of his car. And
looking
thought,
like the guy off of what do you call him? David Dickinson.
Yeah.
Hey, here he comes, ginger wee.
Anyway, there's a VAR check for a handball against Michael Devlin of Livy. Gent's cross hit him. He was only a yard away, but as we've seen, our refs don't seem to be that bothered by proximity if the hand is in an outstretched position and so on. It's taken a couple of minutes. Crowd are booing. I actually think Fraser Wishart's probably booing. You know, he doesn't like. Okay, I can see right through Fraser here because he doesn't like VAR.
Mm-hmm.
And is Michael Devlin not the chairman or something of the PFA?
Oh, is
he? I can see what's happening. He calls himself a Motherwell legend, and he's begging for this penalty not to be given.
Listen, let's get facts here. He's the only one that calls himself a Motherwell legend.
No, I call him it as well.
I do. So he used two years.
Do you know anyone who does like VAR?
Oh, but Fraser particularly doesn't. I think.
I just think it's
well, yeah, I do. Brendan Rodgers, you said this morning, was mentioning it. Philippe Clement gave it a huge ringing endorsement yesterday. His answer was about 90 seconds long. Penalty Motherwell, harsh according to Fraser, but penalty given. David Munro goes to the screen, and you would imagine
is it Bayer? No, Spittle
Theo
will take him,
Bayer will probably take it.
He missed it. Did he not miss one, Dundee?
He did.
Right, so he can't take it.
Why?
I would let Spittle take that.
Would you?
Yeah, he's a better ball striker.
His form's dipped a bit as well since Theo he announced Bayer. He was going to Hearts. So we'll see. It is Theo Bayer to take.
He'll miss.
This is a guy that sits and watches his highlights real topless with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right. Films it.
Nah.
Come on. He's not, he's like shot on confidence. He'll be taking it. No,
they'll
problem.
Bop all night if he scores.
Steady.
That was the most embarrassing piece of footage.
Have you seen it? I do think someone pointed it. I think it might have been kind of tongue in cheek. I think it's like a TikTok trend. I hope it was tongue in cheek. I still don't know if I would do it myself, but
he may be,
I think it was.
He may be unfamiliar with the expression, but if he was chocolate, he'd eat himself.
Anyway, it's going to be Theo Bayer that takes.
He's not a good ball striker.
All right, calm down.
I hope he scores, but I don't think he's a good ball striker. He'll clap it. There you go.
Down the middle. I'm going.
Taking
a dink,
ages.
A dink down the middle.
Well, remember his goal at home to Livingston earlier in the season when he chopped back and dinked the goalkeeper from the tight angle. Here he steps up.
Oh,
goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
I don't know if feed the bear works. Can you be fed from the penalty spot? Oh, they're flying in. We've got three goals. Theo Bayer first up. Now it's
goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Kyogo again. It's that time of the season when you need your big players to step up, and it looks like he has. A lovely deep cross. It's a first time finish. Guided the side foot volley home. Celtic lead Hearts by 2-0.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Out of nowhere, Ross County are level. Jan Danda's leaving in the summer, but a good cross, dreadful header, Rocky Bashiri, easy finish, Simon Murray. They've not been in the game, but they are level. What a period that was. Well, Celtic seems an obvious place to start. Celtic 2, Kyogo 2, Hearts 0.
They have responded to what Brendan Rodgers said about this being the time of the season when Celtic come alive. They have responded to what Brendan Rodgers said about get your trophy heads on. And they have paid attention to the scoreboard pressure. Two up. Now, I can exaggerate at times, but if you if you failed to win this match now, it has an appalling look about it.
Well, we saw 2-0 up at the ends, and it doesn't always go that way, but I would accept this is Celtic Park and so on. And the votes are in. Fraser Wishart confirmed it. It can't be changed now, but this pass from Matt O'Reilly is the type of ball that has seen him in the running for that award tomorrow night. He's about 40 yards out. It's one of those curling ones over the Hearts defence. No one can get there. And a real tidy finish from that man Kyogo.
Yeah, O'Reilly certainly got that in his locker. David Friel made a good case for him. Look, I think everybody's thought that he's went off it a little bit since obviously the transfer speculation that was surrounding him, which is can happen to players, no doubt in that. But the one thing you got to say, the start of the season up until then, he was absolutely brilliant. He scored important goals. And then obviously he's got a terrific assist today in a very important game leading up to next weekend.
Yeah, that's Kyogo up to 13. That moves him on to the same league tally as Matt O'Reilly. He's one behind Dessers, Miovski and Bear. But like we said, Mark, there are two ways of looking at it. You always want volume. You always want as many as possible. But if you need to pick your moments, then that's a nice way to do it as well.
Yeah, and the big ones, and come alive at this time of the season. That's what you want from your main man. And you might not be done yet. Two goals already in the opening, what, 25 minutes on for the hat trick. Exactly what you want at this time of the season. But I think it, by the sounds at the tempo that Celtic are playing, it will please Brendan Rodgers most. And you know, you play at that high tempo, you create chances, you wear the opposition down, and when you've got a guy like Kyogo top end to put them away, then this game could be done and dusted by half time if they get things right.
But I think you said a good point today, Mark. It's been a long time waiting, but you were talking about the midfield players having to contribute a little bit more. And I totally agree with you. And obviously Matt O'Reilly have stepped up to the mark. McGregor starting to get more fitness, massive player going forward. Hatate starting to get more fitness, brilliant midfield player. So things are just starting to click for Celtic just now.
If you wanted one player to come alive, to use the Brendan Rodgers ism, it would be Kyogo, wouldn't it? The matches, Rangers to come, Kilmarnock away, St Mirren at home, and a cup final. You'd want Kyogo to look like today's Kyogo.
Also the kind of hallmarks of what that looks like, Mark, all season long, callers, other fans on social media, pundits, everybody says he's at his best when he's on the last shoulder of the defender. This is a dream ball from Matt O'Reilly. It's genuinely one of the best passes you'll see in a while. But Kyogo's on the shoulder, the movement, he starts it. He's slightly offside to begin with, as he often is, comes back, and it's just, it's exactly where Celtic fans want to see him, basically.
Well, we've heard so much analysis, haven't we, this season from supporters calling into the show, and even Brendan Rodgers has touched on it. How Kyogo plays, is he playing different, is he making the runs? And when he is making the runs, the midfield aren't playing the passes. But Matt O'Reilly is certainly someone with the vision to play it, and you just need to execute it properly. But that, if you think about some fantastic Kyogo goals through the years, you know, this is right at the top drawer. He makes a run and he's got Matt O'Reilly to find him. Terrific way to add to your first goal.
Ackies are two up against Kelty Hearts. Jake Hasty with the goal. Of course, League One really today is all about, well, certainly at the top, is all about Falkirk. Can they go invincible? It's still goalless, I think, in that one. Against Alloa, you would expect them to do it, and what a great achievement it would be. But we look forward to the playoffs. Check in on that teaser if we can, Hugh.
Okay, can you tell me the last seven players to have scored for Hearts against Celtic who also played for an Old Firm side in their career? The last seven Hearts players to score against Celtic who have also played for an Old Firm side in their career.
I can tell you there's only one person who's got them all right so far. So that means there is room, certainly, to get on that podium. Matthew wants to throw in some names. Hugh, let's try and eliminate some wrong ones. Paul Hartley?
Not there.
Okay, what about Stephen Presley?
Not there.
An old teammate of yours, Mark Wilson?
Yeah, yeah, Elvis, great guy. Only wore the finest attire. He used to come in all the time. Handmade shoes, he used to say. We were all, you know, coming in with trainers like Me and Daz has got on. He would have his handmade leather shoes and his cravat.
He's got a bit of class about him.
He was once voted second best dressed man in Scotland.
What do you mean second to one?
I think it was David Tennant. Yeah, so we used to always give him a bit of stick for that.
Seriously?
Aye, I'm pretty sure it was Doctor Who that beat him.
Stephen Presley second. I'm going to look this up.
Oh, he held on. He held on to that.
That's the most lukewarm accolade of all time. Well, isn't it?
At least he was in the running. You should have seen some of the gear some of the boys were wearing in that dressing room. Elvis certainly stood out. Bit of class.
Tell you, I can't find evidence of it.
Don't tell me he's made that up. And I don't even know where you would vote for that.
Exactly.
Some Scottish magazine, GQ.
No, producer Michael's got your back.
Yeah, have you? Yes, Michael.
So there we go. As according to what? Like Vogue? The Daily Record. Presumably not.
I've got to say, I've seen a photograph of him the other day. I think he's let his dress sense go a wee bit.
Where is he? In the south coast of
I don't
England
know where
now.
He is, yeah. But I'm sure the...
Where is he? Bournemouth? Brentford. Oh, he's in London.
Yeah. I know it's expensive in London, but come
on.
No,
you're right. Second place. Dario Franchitti, the IndyCar driver, was third. No, he was in third
place. He was in third?
Just in case you really needed to know. Fraser Wishart said you were third, Gordon Dale. He's not seen you in your frustrated PE teacher get up. That you come in here.
How's a bit of trendy?
By the way, he's upgraded now. Have you seen the bottoms he wears now?
You're liking them, aren't you?
Are they Zara?
By the way, I've got the blue ones as well.
The old Zara jogging bottoms, smart casual.
Beautiful.
I had to tell Scott Allen my story last night of being in H&M when the lady came over and said to me, "Are you all right?" When I tried to explore the fashion world, and all I got was, "Are you all right?"
I tell you what, in terms of the live stream, no offence, you know I love you both, but what an upgrade that was for you two on Thursday to Scott Allen last night.
Oh, is he looking well groomed? Was he?
Yeah.
The hair was swept back. The designer gear was he? Looking bang on. It just
there was
we took it up a notch.
Trapped in between Gordon Duncan.
Oh, listen, don't do
and
not
Scott
want
Allen.
Me in with that.
It was like. I said to him, it's like being
the
in the middle of a
band. Is he been to Turkey?
Back no, he doesn't need that.
Has he been to Turkey for the hair?
Yeah,
he's
teeth.
Got long
because that's what normally happens.
He's always
to
kind of long, swept back off.
It looks as if he.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. Will he? He looked like Hugh and I when he's 60, 70 odds, right? When I was. Wait, just Scott Allen.
What a thought for the poor boy.
When I was 30 odds, I was a darling. Right?
I saw you on the t shirt, remember? Exactly. With your face on it. I wasn't a darling.
I was a darling, mate.
No.
You've actually
no
says
idea.
That with a straight.
I know.
He does.
Yeah.
He believes it.
It's absolutely outrageous.
I was a pin up of Hamilton Palace.
I thought there were highlights in Scott Allen's hair, I have to say.
He was looking top drawer, I have to say. But anyway, back to the football this afternoon. No other Scottish goals to tell you about, that Jake Hasty one. It was the most recent.
We are way off with this. First half teaser.
I thought we had seven. I gave you some help there. You know, no Stephen Presley. What was the other one we said? No. What's the other name again?
Webster.
Andy Webster's not correct either.
Nope. Okay.
And Lee Wallace isn't correct.
He's not correct either. No Lee Wallace, no.
Okay. Stephen Naismith.
Also, no. Which I'm surprised at that.
Yeah.
I remember him being heavily involved. Did he not like stamp on Scott Brown or he kicked Scott Brown or something?
Oh, I've got one.
And he was.
I've got one.
Shout it out.
I'm not. Did I coach him?
What sort of question is that?
Oh,
did you coach
him?
I
know who it is.
100%.
I'm honestly thinking, I don't know who that is on this list, but whatever.
Seriously?
With the look in Hugh's face, it's not.
No.
Who are you thinking of?
Barry Mackay.
Oh, right, no. Did I coach him? Yeah, that's going to help. All the listeners are going to go, oh, yeah, I know who that must be.
No, I don't want to give clues away.
I think you sometimes forget we're actually meant to be talking to other people, like not just the four of us in here.
Yeah.
You forget that sometimes.
I think he genuinely does.
People actually listen.
Anyway, right, still Celtic 2, Hearts 0. It's been a really fast start. Hearts have had chances, that's the thing. But Celtic have been clinical, and in particular, Kyogo has been clinical. As Hugh Keevan says, if Celtic were to handpick someone to come to the boil in the month of May, they might just choose him, given what he's been capable of in front of goal in recent seasons. Even this season, he's still shown it in games against Rangers. And in case you hadn't heard, there is one of them just around the corner. So let's see what Celtic can do in the remainder of this one. Ross County are back on level terms against Hibs. Motherwell lead yet another handball penalty. given out in the Premiership this season. Theo Bear took it. Didn't do enough to go in the final four, as we spoke about, for what we call Fraser's Award tomorrow, Gordon. But he was in Team of the Year, and it's just a great story, that, isn't it? Obviously for him and the hard work, the staff at Motherwell, the work they've done with him. Dig out social media tweets, dig out the articles from when this guy signed. One goal at St Johnstone. Motherwell are going to try and replace Kevin Van Veen with a guy that scored once for St Johnstone. Now he's in Team of the Year and 14 league goals for the season.
He certainly had a lot of doubters when he came to Fir Park, no doubt about that. And probably, if I'm honest, I'll say that I was one of them. Even when he scored his first goal up at Dens in the first half, and then I watched his performances, I thought, no, he's not got to cut it as a centre forward for Motherwell. But all credit to the guy, he's been brilliant.
Bit of drama there, because Scott Pittman has scored with a header disallowed by the assistant for a foul by Bruce Anderson on Paul McGinn. Late flag, but I suppose that's what they're told to do. Fraser says it looked like the right decision, but the Livy bench are not happy. So we'll keep an eye and see if there is anything doing there. Oh, the Invincibles, Falkirk nil, Alloa 1.
Oh dear.
And it's Connor Salmon, of all people, who gone and scored the goal. You do not want to let it slip on the last day of the season.
No, get manager of the year.
I know your priority is getting up and all that sort of stuff, but come on.
Dick Campbell speech will be tucked away if you're John McGlynn.
The votes are in, of course, but anyway.
One thing you're going
to hate. Yeah, backing him all season to go on and get it.
Yeah, that'd be a horrible thing. But, you know, at this time of the year, we're hearing stories of indifference all over the place. You know, the Hibs fans aren't going to the game today in Dingwall. The Aberdeen fans, Dave Galloway talking about big gaps in the crowd. Falkirk had a record, or have today,
yes,
a record attendance for the Falkirk Stadium of over 7,000 people.
Well, that's what I mean. There's no indifference there, because no, they've turned up and they are chasing this record, aren't they?
The allegation will be that the players have been partying. Well, there's only one way to answer the allegation. That's to score two goals.
I suppose a draw would do it, of course. It would keep the unbeaten run going. But as it stands, Alloa are going to break that run on the final day of the season. Still a long way to go.
Yeah, I was going to mention about the PFAs. One that I know you'll miss, you'll love it every year.
Yeah,
Fraser's speech.
Oh my god. By the way, take that, we'll have sang the first four songs and Fraser will still be standing there with his speech. And by the way, I tell you what, Fraser, I hope you're listening, because these guys are killing themselves. I haven't known it's the truth. I'm the only one that says it.
It's not a truth. I know you enjoy it every year. That's right.
By the way, you can see the minute they go and introduce them onto the stage, everybody goes, oh no.
If you want, what we could do is I could film the full thing for you. I'll send it over.
You don't have enough battery.
I'll send it over. And you can nip out of take that, go into the foyer, the hydro, and watch it on your phone.
You need to take a charger with you. Well, he loves it. That's the one time
he's
in
the main man. It's his show.
I can't help it. Just go up there, do your 5 seconds and get off. No. Oh Jesus, man.
Hugh Keevan's irony of Gordon DL accusing someone else of wanting to be the centre of attention.
You can't go over it, can you?
But I can't believe it.
Fraser will rise above it, because he's the head of PFA Scotland and not the head of
what would you do?
The head of Sunbeds in North Lanarkshire.
What would you do if Ollie Murs missed his flight again and the curtains opened and Fraser strode onto the hydro?
Honestly,
black tie, mic in hand.
Oh my god. Well, take that, we just need to pack up and get him, right? Because Fraser's taking over. Listen, you watch tomorrow night, every single one of you, and report back.
I like
back.
It. I love speeches.
No, you don't.
I love speeches.
Stephen Fraser goes to that mic, the exit doors for the toilet, I'm not kidding on, is unbelievable, Mark, isn't it? It's unbelievable. You actually got a ticket to stand there and queue to get in the toilet. Going like that. Oh, I tell you what. No, you go first,
mate. I enjoy it. That's harsh.
First,
I like it.
He's really milking this thing, isn't he?
I shouldn't have brought it up. Fraser's not going to turn up now.
Fraser's going like that. I better get rid of that paragraph there. I better get rid of that book.
Stirling Albion 1-1. Remember, I said that was the shootout to avoid the playoffs at the bottom of League One. So Stirling Albion need to win that one, but they're level. Josh McPake has scored. Stranraer one up on Stenhouse Muir. Come on, Hugh, what does that mean at the bottom?
Well, Clyde are still okay.
Yeah, they're 2 points in front of Clyde. They're both one up, so Clyde remain 2 points ahead.
There you are. Fraser makes a very good point, and this will be the final say in the matter. A few people are having a go now that the invites are out. They weren't so brave a few weeks ago. Funny that. Now that you've had and declined your invite, you're feeling brave again.
I know I'll never get invited back, so I'm getting out in a bang.
Just the... A stat I noticed from Celtic Park, Mark. Well, the most important stat, quite clearly, is that Celtic lead 2-0. But maybe just a slight surprise, Hearts have had more of the ball at Celtic Park.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
35 minutes gone.
Don't often see that with teams coming to Celtic Park and dominating the ball. Maybe a bit what Daz says as well, just a bit more freer, relaxed Hearts. Another 2-0 down. But Celtic, you would imagine then, happy to let them have it and not really pressing high up. But they were a bit open in the opening periods, conceded a few chances to Hearts, so maybe just tightening things up and let them play in front of them.
Don't worry, Hugh, Clyde have responded. 2-0 up now, away at Elgin.
That's it.
Liam Scullion with the goal there. Remind us of your teaser again. We'll try and do some more incorrect answers.
Can you tell me the last seven players, last seven Hearts players to score against Celtic who have played for an Old Firm team in their career? The last seven Hearts players to score against Celtic who have played for an Old Firm side in their career.
Carson would like to throw in Danny Wilson.
No.
Okay. Lots of you are getting pretty close. Sean wanted to throw in Lee Wallace.
No, we've already established that he's not there.
Lots of people, Gordon, along your lines, like Christopher Stewart wanted Barry Mackay's name mentioned as well, but it's incorrect, so keep them coming. Trying to give you any more clues to try and help you along the way. So one, two, three. Okay, three are still in the Scottish top flight, if that helps you in any way. You got those three?
No, we've got one of those.
Oh,
right, okay. Ah, so that up two is
three.
The two we're missing.
Three are still in the Scottish top flight, I can tell you that. One is in the West of Scotland League at the moment. Quite high profile to be playing in
that
division.
We've got
division.
Him. We've ticked him off.
One will be on, I think, still on Fraser Wishart's staff, making sure the PFA awards go to plan tomorrow night. That might not help many people, but we'll see. An open game, says Dave Galloway.
We've got another one.
Goalless there, Aberdeen against St Johnstone. Both teams having a go.
Is Halliday not in that?
No.
Just as well, since you shout out.
Well, I seen you shaking your head zero.
He is not one of the three who are still playing, I'm afraid. In the top flight, it is not. Oh, I've got a goal in that shootout for European spots in Dundee.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's gone to St Mirren. St Mirren lead at Dens Park, and a man who's had a terrific season, not known necessarily for his goal scoring at Gogic. A low finish, Dundee didn't clear, he finished at the back post, and what a big, big goal that could turn out to be.
That's a big goal, and he was outstanding last week, Gogic, but had a very good season.
What about his clearance?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. His block.
Throughout the full game, he was great, and what a way to follow up by getting a goal, such a crucial goal at that. Just a good time to score as well, just before half time.
Yeah, it's great because all his family are up in Dundee. I was listening to them, Eerie Wigan at the gates yesterday, making their plans. I was finding out what was happening.
Can I elaborate this for anyone who hasn't heard? Gordon DL happens to meet Alex Gogic at the school gates from time to time.
Yeah, but it was his good lady that was talking.
You were just listening in.
I was listening in, kid. No, I wasn't interested. Yeah.
He's had a great season, hasn't he?
He's been terrific.
Out of contract in the summer, isn't he?
I tell you what, how old is he?
He's not over the hill yet, that's for sure. He is. Let me double check.
I've seen
you.
A few Hibs fans saying,
30.
Whose decision was it to let him go?
He's decent. 30. He is 30, really, yeah. Is decent. By the way, I've got one that's playing there now.
Yeah.
A couple of chances for Celtic. Well, it's openings. A Greg Taylor shot from the edge of the box, held by Clark. Now a low save by Xander Clark to push away Matt O'Reilly's shot. Celtic had quietened down a bit, but they're stepping it up again. And if they could get a third before the break, then it really would be party time in that second half.
It's crucial that to get a third. You know, it just makes the game in the second half a whole lot easier. 2-0. you know, still that danger there. We saw what happened last week at Dens. You can see the goal out of nothing, and all of a sudden it becomes a much tougher environment to play. So Celtic can get the third, then it's going to be a good half time chat from Brendan Rodgers.
Even if they don't mark, I think before the game you're saying getting 2-0 up, yeah, against Hearts, important game. Hearts third best team in the country, I think you'd be over a minute.
But the old 45 minute curse with Celtic this season.
Ah, yeah,
one half
I
good
about that.
Second half not so good, or vice versa. So it sounds like they've been pretty good first half, got their two goals, but then they fall up by a decent second.
And Maeda, you have to think, will come on and play some part in the second half. You know, he's got to get some game time before Rangers next Saturday. But that will all depend on the progress of the game.
The Palmerston Pep pressure's off there.
They won in 2-0.
Not been a vintage season, but safe, certainly. Montrose nil, Queen of the South 2. So he should be in a good mood.
Oh, we've got them, Gordon.
Oh, you finished the answers to the teaser, have you? Good.
Dazzler was good. I think I only got one. You got the rest.
For all the people listening out there, we've got them.
You can get back to actually concentrating on what's going on the pitch this afternoon, then. That would be nice of you to rejoin us, having spent the last 35 minutes scribbling away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing else doing in front of goal at the moment. Hamilton Accies 2, Kelty Hearts 1. Craig Johnson with the goal there. That was off the back of those Queen of the South and St Mirren goals that we told you about. Still nothing between Aberdeen and St Johnston. Only Dave Galloway is waiting on a goal.
I'm surprised by that. I mean, I know they've had their upset, Aberdeen, with Peter leaving, going to hospital, and we're delighted to report that he's back home now, and we wish him well. But I'm surprised that, you know, you'd want Aberdeen to finish in a bit of style.
I know what you're saying, Hugh, but I'm not, because St Johnston, when you write them off, they went to Hibs, Easter Road. They can pick up the weirdest results in the world, and I just fancied them to get something there today. Just the way Craig Levine will got them set up and make it very difficult, and I just fancy St Johnston maybe he snatched something today up there.
I was there last time they won 2-0, didn't they? A midweek game.
That's right.
Neil Warnock's time in charge. And they were good for it that night, you have to say. So maybe, just maybe. But they looked miles off it against Hibs last week.
Terrible.
Well, it could have been 8. Hibs just playing with that freedom and, you know, not really anything to fear. And St Johnson were awful. You know, at both ends, you think Craig Levine's sides are usually resolute and hard to play against. No, last week. And that's the kind of form that we'll see you in the drop zone.
Let's do this, Hugh, before the halftime whistles go.
Okay.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Kyogo with a snapshot on the turn, saved by Xander Clark. On you go, Hugh.
The last 7 Hearts players to have scored against Celtic and played for an Old Firm side in their career are Gary Mackay-Steven, John Souter, Kyle Lafferty, Jason Holt, Craig Beattie, Ian Black and David Templeton.
There we are, well done if you got them all right. That was tricky, so much so we've only got 2 people on the podium. So I think that means Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, you're sharing 3rd spot on the podium.
Okay.
I'll need to be a sturdily built podium for you 2 to
we
stand
there. We are bronze.
Wee Scooch was in 2nd place, and Derek FM, the winner of the first half teaser. Well done to you. We've got a Who Am I later on in the show, as always. 2 minutes added at Pittodrie, 4 added at in Dingwall, 3 added at Fir Park. So we're in that territory. We certainly have had some VAR intervention in some of those, so it tends to add on a bit. The schedule on a Saturday afternoon has changed significantly when you look at all the added time that we play, because by comparison, League 1, League 2, pretty much half time across the board already. But we are waiting. Simon Murray hits the post. Hibs started so brightly, Ross County not in it, and they almost take a lead into the break. But well, they would work.
Simon Murray's been a very good signing for Ross County, got to say. You know what I like about him? His work rate. I think he works his socks off for the team. I really do.
Junior Hoylett hits the bar, Hugh, from a free kick.
The Hibs fans might have gone to the game on a motorbike, but although they be slow, small in number, they will still let Nick Montgomery know if it's not a proper result at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 11 goals in the league alone this season. Simon Murray, and he's usually the king of the League Cup group stages, isn't he? So he's got 18 in all competitions.
He's been a good signer.
Gonna need to check this. Right, this is the worst stat. It's not the one of the most exciting ones. I think he's got more League Cup group stage goals than anyone else since it was reintroduced, or since it was brought in.
Yeah,
I think so.
Looks after himself in the summer, then comes back sharp, ready to go.
Yeah, takes advantage of lower league opposition, as you sometimes need to do. Half time, Celtic Park, Andrew McLean.
Celtic 2, Hearts 0, the half time score. Good game here as well, end to end, plenty of chances. Kyogo clinical though, and it's his brace that has Celtic ahead at the break. There was an early scare for the host though. Good work down the right from Hearts. Lembekisa finding Shankland in the box. His shot was blocked and rolled just wide for a corner. Celtic responded instantly though. 4 minutes into the game, a corner was punched away by Xander Clark, only as far as Rio Hitati. He looked the ball back into the box, and there was Kyogo in the right area to head in and give Brendan Rodgers' side the lead. The game just continued in that open fashion, both teams creating openings. Joe Hart had to make an excellent save high to his left to deny Cammy Devlin. His shot was going towards the top corner. Then Cameron Carter-Vickers headed over from a corner before Celtic ended up getting their second. Matt O'Reilly with a lovely curling ball over the Hearts defence. Kyogo this time timed his run perfectly, and it was a cushion volley. Caught it really well with his side foot and put it into the bottom corner for 2-0. The chances kept on coming. Stephen Kingsley heading just wide at the back post from a corner for Hearts. Then Xander Clark, three times he was called into action late in the half. The first two shots from the edge of the box, one from Greg Taylor, one from Matt O'Reilly. Clark dealt with them both well, and then Kyogo probably thought he had his hat-trick right at the death. A shot on the turn caught it really well, but Xander Clark turning that one round the post. Celtic with the advantage, but you'd reckon with the way this game is going that there will be more goals in at the half-time score. Celtic 2, Hearts 0.
Half-time whistle starting to go then. That's a significant one. We actually missed a goal, but Fraser Wishart can tell us about it when we go to Fir Park for the half-time. In fact, let's do that now, Fraser.
Yeah, you can come to me just as Sam Nicholson has hit the ball from 25 yards. An absolute rocket in off the bar into the back of the net to give Motherwell that two-goal cushion at half-time. They are 2-0 up. The game started brightly end-to-end and chances at both ends, but after Motherwell opened the scoring through Teo Baer, the tempo of the game dropped until that brilliant strike by Nicholson. Early chance for the home side. Blair Spittle slipped a lovely ball to Sam Nicholson, who hit the side net. Then the game swung to the other end. Bruce Anderson clean through, 1-1 with the goalkeeper denied. Brilliant challenge in the box by Casey. And then Stephen Kelly, it was actually a Motherwell corner, and the ball broke to him at 30 yards from his own goal, and he just ran unchallenged from it in his own half into the Motherwell half. He thought about chipping. Kelly side against it, took his time, but then shot inches wide. In the 21st minute, Motherwell took the lead through a Teo Baer penalty. Gent cross hit Devlin, who was only a yard away, and VAR Ewan Anderson took an eternity to check it. It was actually in the 16th minute, and they didn't score until the 21st. But David Monroe went to the screen, gave the penalty. It looked harsh to me, but Teo Baer didn't care. He stepped up to score low to George's right. Delay seemed to take the pace out of the game, though. Livy's clearly feeling a sense of frustration at the penalty decision, and that was even more frustration from the Livy bench when Pittman scored an 8-yard header, a really good header from Mackay Cross, but assistant referee flagged late for a foul in the build-up by Bruce Anderson on Paul McGinn. It looked like the right decision to me, but the bench not happy. But Motherwell hadn't threatened the Livy goal since then, and then they needed a spark from somewhere just to try and get back into the game after those two injustices. Baer had a half chance in 31 minutes, but he couldn't get enough power, and a back post header from a Gent cross before 2 minutes into stoppage time. A brilliant goal by Sam Nicholson, who's looked bright in this game. The ball's played to him 30 yards out, but he's back to goal. A lovely turn, and he just didn't hesitate. He smashed the ball from 25 yards in off the crossbar into the back of the net, much to the delight of the Motherwell supporters. Livy on the verge of official relegation to the Championship. They need to show a bit more belief in the last third if they get anything out of this game. Motherwell deservedly ahead here at Fir Park. Half-time, Motherwell 2, Livingston 0.
Half-time, Pittodrie, Dave Galloway.
Half-time, Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 0. Saints made a good start to this one. Andy Considine tried to catch Keller Roos out with a near-post flick, and Nicky Clark's shot was deflected for a corner. But the Dons stepped things up, and Stefan Gartenman missed a huge chance to score. But from inside the six-yard box, he sent a free header over from a corner kick. Gartenman, however, prevented a St Johnstone goal, heading Benji Kimpioka's effort off the line after the forward did superbly to fashion an opening from the resultant corner. Ryan McGowan's header landed on top of the net. The normally deadly Boyan Miovski shot straight at Dimitar Mitov, who also comfortably saved the striker's diving header at the back post. But on 45 minutes, Aberdeen came so close to breaking the deadlock. A terrific curling free kick from Junior Hoylett from the edge of the D, crashing off the bar. It's been a pretty entertaining first half, but it's goalless. Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 0.
It's also half-time at Dens Park. David Friel.
Yeah, half-time, Gordon, Dundee 0, St Mirren 1. Alec Gogic is the unlikely goal hero. He produced a finish. His good friend, his good personal friend, Gordon Dale, would have been proud of to put St Mirren in control after a really frantic first half. We spoke earlier about how much was at stake as both sides chase European football, and you can really tell Tony Docherty and Stephen Robinson will both be asking for more composure in the second half. But St Mirren ahead, Gogic's goal in 39 minutes has got them in front, shooting down the slope at Dens Park. They have had most of the pressure but hadn't really tested in D-keeper John McCracken until that moment. The best chances have been from set pieces, and Gogic made the most of a Ryan Strain cross after a corner to fire out the back post after Dundee failed to clear. Dundee up the other end, they've been pretty quiet. Luke McCown picked out Jordan McGee at the back post, his header was weak. Lyle Cameron then picked out McCown inside the box for once the midfielder's touch let him down, the chance was lost. McCown then tried his luck, probably Dundee's best effort from about 20 yards, but Zach Henning batted that one away. A few minutes later, Gogic pounced up the other end, and St Mirren now have something to hang on to. Half time, Dundee 0, St Mirren 1.
And we've also got half time in Dingwall with Roger Hanna.
Yeah, half time, Gordon. Ross County won, Hibernian won, a really good game of football up here in Dingwall. Hibs dominating the early exchanges, taking the lead, and then really shooting themselves in the foot. A defensive disaster for Rocky Bashiri, giving County a way back into the game. Just 2 minutes in, a first set of goal for Hibs. Joe Newell's free kick into the box, it broke to Bashiri. He teed up Martin Boyle, but his right foot shot just past the near post. Mizzy and Mauer lead in, Dylan Venti both had sights of goal in the opening 10 minutes before Ross Laidlaw then made a good save to clutch across from Martin Boyle. The opening goal was coming, and it arrived finally in 15 minutes for Hibernian. A corner on the right by Boyle, Bashiri got up to meet it. It came off the post, it flew behind Ross Laidlaw along the line, and there was Mizzy and Malida to tap home his 9th goal of the season. It went to the VAR review, County desperately claiming there had been a handball in the build-up, but the VAR, John Beaton, told referee Don Robertson that the goal should stand. It looked reasonably straightforward for Hibernian at that stage, but then out of the blue in 21 minutes, County found themselves level. Jan Danda delivering across from the right. It was a bread and butter clearance for Bashiri. He should have headed it high and away, but instead he headed it down back into the danger area, and it fell beautifully for Simon Murray. An emphatic right foot finish for his 19th goal in all competitions this season. Immediately after that, Laidlaw made a fine save from Emiliano Marcondes after good build up on the left involving Melida and Jordan Obita. But at the other end, again, defensive disarray for Hibs. Nathan Mariah Wells this time making a mistake. In came Murray. Wallachod made the save. The ball flew up in the air. Eamon Brophy heading wide when he really should have hit the target. Then Laidlaw called into action in 36 minutes to deny Melida after a break involving Venter and Boyle. And an added time at the end of the first half, County again really out of the blue, almost snatching an unlikely lead. Simon Murray breaking clear on the right hand side, coming in from a very tight angle. His shot actually clipped the near post, it ran along the goal line, not at great pace, it was just waiting on somebody tapping it in, but there was Chris Cadden, back the quickest to hack clear and keep Hibs on level terms. At the break, Ross County 1, Hibs 1.
And we'll do a full round up of the half time scores next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the Scottish Premiership. It's Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 0, Celtic 2, Hearts 0, Dundee 0, St Mirren 1, Motherwell 2, Livingston 0, and Ross County 1, Hibs 1. In League 1, it's Cove Rangers 2, Edinburgh City 1, Hamilton Accies 2, Kelty Hearts 1, Montrose 0, Queen of the South 2, Stirling Albion 1, Annan Athletic 1, and Falkirk 1, Alloa 2. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Forfar Athletic 0, East Fife 0, The Spartans 0, Elgin City 0, Clyde 2, Peterhead 2, Dumbarton 0, and Stranraer 1, Stenhouse Muir 0. If the English Premier League is your thing, it finished Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0. At the break, Brentford 0, Fulham 0, Burnley 0, Newcastle 3, Sheffield United 1, Nottingham Forest 1. And the second halves are coming up next.